Okay, good Erev Shabbos. We're continuing with this Sfas Emes on Parshas Bamidbar. So I wanted to share a few perspectives on the Parsha that at least two or three of them do relate to Matan Torah, which is the Yontif, which is coming up, Chag HaShavuos. So if you look in the first source here in the Sfas Emes in Parshas Bamidbar, so the Psukim tell us, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai, and Kadosh Baruch Hu goes on to count the Klal Yisrael, etc. So Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to Moshe Rabbeinu b'Midbar Sinai. Now there's an obvious connection, I believe Nether will come back to another one soon, but there's an obvious connection between our Parsha and the Yom Tov of Shuas, in the sense that B'Midbar always immediately precedes the Yom Tov of Shuas. So the Medrash picking up on this in B'Midbar Rabbah, you have it in source number one, the Medrash says, Mikan Shanu Chachamim, Lam B'Midbar Sinai. Why was this done in Midbar Sinai? Mikan Shanu Chachamim, B'Gimel Dvar Nitna Torah. There were three mediums through which the Torah was given, but Eish Uva Mayim Uva Midbar. We're obviously focusing on the third, but Eish and Mayim were also critical mediums through which the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, through which a person is able to receive Torah. The Ashan, the smoke and flames which permeated the Har Sinai experience, were on the top of the mountain during Har Sinai experience. Mayim, also related to or related to light, as Sfas Emes explains, flows through gravity from top to bottom, just like the Torah comes from on high to down low. And there's another mashal, actually, that the Gemara in Tainus, I think it's on Daf Zayin, although I forget right now, talks about Mayim is Nimshal to Torah in the sense that it always flows to the lower spots, meaning Torah always comes to the most modest people. I think we spoke about this in the past, that modesty is a key to being Mekabel Torah. So Mayim is also part of the Torah experience, and Midbar, also the desert, is a critical means and medium through which the Torah is given and through which the Torah is received. So I wanted to give you, three perspectives from the Sfas Emes, two in our Parsha, one elsewhere, which we've discussed in the past, as to the relationship between a Midbar, a desert, and Kabbalah Satorah and Matan Torah. So if you look in source Aleph, within source number one, you have an Aleph, the Sfas Emes in our Parsha, Parshas Bamidbar, Tafrish Nun Ches. That's 1898. The Sfas Emes here says, Eish hu hislavos ha'adam lalos ulizdabek bo yizbarech. So what does it mean that the Torah is given through Eish, through fire? So it means that there's a hislavos, there's a pining, there's a seeking of a person from here. Just the flame erupts upwards and strives to reach higher up. If you look in the Bala Tanya, he writes about this a lot. In the beginning of the Sefer Tanya, he writes about how the flame is always reaching upwards. No matter how, even if you turn a candle upside down, right, the flame flips the other way, it'll burn the wax, because it's always reaching upwards, always striving upwards. And he says, that's why the ner Hashem nishmas adam. That's why a person's neshama is compared to a ner, compared to a flame, a candle, because it's always pining for something higher. So here too, by Kabbalah Satorah, so there's a hislavos, there's a reaching for something higher, lalos l'zdavik bo yizbarach, to rise up, to ascend, and to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mayim, hu ha'aretz ha'kedusha abav milamala, right? The mayim, the water, is something which flows from top to bottom, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, down to us. Umidbar, here in the third line in source Aleph, Umidbar, a desert. Hu lios nimshach achar Hashem yizbarach b'kula. The idea of the Midbar is supposed to teach us that we're supposed to be drawn after HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. V'hu b'chinas derech chayim tovtachas moser. Lios batel el hanhagas Hashem yizbarach v'taraso. That we completely nullify ourselves. Complete self-renunciation. Nothing exists except for our yearning for Divrei Torah and our being drawn to and pulled after HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah. V'zehu ikar hachana el haTorah. V'hu b'chinas hashabbos. So the Sfas Emes says that's the main example and the main way in which a person prepares themselves, readies themselves for Kabbalah Satorah. They get rid of all of the outside factors and they're only pulled towards Torah, like a magnet pulls the other magnet towards it. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah pulls us toward the Torah. And that's Bechinas Shabbos. That's the idea of Shabbos. How is that related to Shabbos? So first of all, he points out, Shabbos was Nitan Kodam Matan Torah, that the mitzvah of Shabbos came even before Matan Torah. And the reason for that is because Ki HaShabbos Haya HaChana Lios Mulchanim Al Yadeha LeKabbalah Torah. Because Shabbos, in a certain sense, is a preparatory means. It's a way of preparing, of readying ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. Because the idea, as we mentioned before, is that we have to completely divorce ourselves from everything else, like in a midbar. So too, Shabbos is related. He'll explain it soon. But that's why Shabbos was given before Matan Torah. Lachain, achar kach tichsiv vayishbosu, that we had a Shabbos, v'yom ha'shvi, that they rested on the seventh day, take of nasa merifin lahar Sinai. Right after there was a shvisa, right after there was a resting, a cessation of all malacha, then we were able to run to Har Sinai to have a Kabbalah. So Torah v'chinu Seder Amalos Nasan Lanu HaShabbos v'kirvanu Livnei Har Sinai. We say in Dayenu at the Seder, we say first that we receive Shabbos and then we were able to go to the Torah. And here's the key line. She'al Yedei HaShvisa, through the cessation of all other malacha, through the bittul of every other act in our lives, kol ha-malachos, getting rid of all those things, zochen la-Torah, we're then able to merit in receiving the Torah. Because Shabbos is a time where a person is able to get rid of all of the distractions, able to do away with anything that's disturbing his thoughts, disturbing his peace of mind. On Shabbos, the phone is off, and the work is not being addressed, and there's no office to go to. And all of a sudden, a person has yichud. They have the ability to be alone, to be mizyachid with the Ribono Shalom and with his Torah. That's why we learn in the Yerushalmi that Shabbos was nitan for Talmud Torah in specific, because it's a day that's mesugal, not only in terms of skulos like we've spoken on the past, that you're able to remember the Torah you learn on Shabbos, but literally the Shabbos itself, the act of bittul malacha, allows for a person to receive Torah, because there is no other noise. There's nothing else drowning out the noise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's Torah is always singing, is always calling out to us. We just have so many other things which are getting in the way of the frequency. On Shabbos, there's no disturbance. There's nothing getting in the way, and we're able to participate in Torah and have a Kabbalah Satorah. That's why Shabbos is given before Matan Torah, and that's why here we're saying that the Midbar is essential experience in being Mekabel Torah, because a Midbar, just like Shabbos, involves the bittul and the cessation of anything else. There's nothing else in a Midbar. There's no other distractions. I always find, again, this is a shmooze for a different time, why we stay up all night on Shavuos. It's not really to learn more. That's not really the point of staying up all night in Shavuos. It's to show that we want to learn more, but it's not really to accomplish learning more. But I always find on Shavuos is some of the hardest time for me to focus on my learning. There's so much going on. There's so many people in the shul, people I'm not used to, people you want to talk to. Then there's a sushi at this hour and the dairy buffet at that hour and tons of coffee. And there's just so much going on. This is such an amazing thing. I find that no one else really that I've met relates to this. And it probably speaks to my antisocial and awkward nature. But the best Shavuos of my life, by far the best Shavuos of my life, was the Shavuos during COVID when we were stuck at our homes that night. So it happens to be, al pi halacha, it's not necessarily clear that you had to stay up all night, because that might be a minig in shuls and not a minig in the home. But a lot of people, I think, tried to stay up all night learning. And I think a lot of people experienced being tired, being exhausted. But that was by far, the most productive and the most enraptured I've been by Torah. Why was it? Because all night long, I didn't have anyone else there. My kids were sleeping. My wife was sleeping. I was sitting at my desk. And I remember what I was learning. And it was a very meaningful limud. And there was no distractions. It was a midbar. There was nothing there. So it's when there's no distraction, when it's a Shabbos Kodesh, when it's a midbar, when there's a cessation of everything else, then everything else ceases to exist. A person can actually be Mekabel Torah. That's what we're gunning for with a midbar as a means and a medium to Talmud Torah, and that's what Shabbos represents as well. You see in Tafresh Samach Dalet, that's right, 1904, and the Sfasem is here again in Source Aleph, the second source in Source Aleph. The Sfasem says, Shabbos Lefnei Shavuos, every Shabbos that we come before Shavuos, that's this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Shavuos, Tzrichin Lahachin LeKabbalat HaTorah. It has to be a preparatory Shabbos for Kabbalah Satorah, because Shabbos in general is a preparation. It is a way of readying ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. Again, the Sfasem is here stresses the same point we said before, that on Shabbos, Shabbos is representative of being mevatel everything else. There are no distractions, there are no disturbances, it's just you and the Torah, so that's the proper place to mekabel the Torah. So that's the first perspective the Sfasem offers us in our parsha on the connection between a midbar and Kabbalah Satorah, that the midbar is a place devoid of any distractions, so it's a place that's ripe for a Kabbalah Satorah. If you look in Beis, the next Sfasem is here in Bamidbar, Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph, that's 1871. So the Sfasem isn't going on a particular pasuk, at least in the beginning, but he's quoting a Mishnah or a Brisa, I should say, in Pirkei Avos, and he says, Ki bevada ikir yegia b'torah levatel sichlo v'daito, kidei ledo lahavin ratzon Hashem Yisbarach v'das haTorah. The ikir, the main idea, the real foundational principle that guides Talmud Torah, we touched on this a little bit last week in Bechukosai, the guiding principle in Talmud Torah is that a person is finding a way to be mevatel themselves. Meaning Talmud Torah is not to become king, to become a big Talmud Chacham who knows everything. Talmud Torah is the ability to show that you're being mevatel yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. That everything I know is really nothing. That I am really nullified next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that his Das, his Ratzon, all the capital H, so that's what dictates my living, my learning, everything I do in my life is dictated by Ratzon Hashem and Das HaTorah. So that's what... Right. Right, so maybe we'll talk about that a little more soon, but that's true, that's a challenge. Meaning, on the one hand, you're trying to gain knowledge, which means you usually have to turn on your brain. On the other hand, we're trying to be mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means you, in a way, turn, like you're, the way you're phrasing it, turn off your brain, right? Turn off your seichel. So obviously it doesn't mean not to use your cerebral abilities, and it doesn't mean not to use your emotional abilities and your intellectual capabilities. It means that those cerebral abilities, those intellectual capabilities, should be focused on trying to understand the divine will, not to impart your own ideas into Torah. You find, as opposed to finding someone who has his own preconceived notions of how the world's supposed to be, or how Chachma is supposed to be represented, or what is Emes and what's not Emes, and then they try to impose that onto the Gemara, onto the Psukim. They try to find the way that what they already thought is in the Psukim. That's not the way you should come to it. Come to it as a totally clean Kli Kibbul, who has intellectual capabilities and the ability to understand and retain information, but make sure that your goal is always to understand Hashem's Torah, not to try to put your Torah into Hashem's words. So that's what the Sfas here is saying, that a person is supposed to be mevatel themselves to the Das of the Torah. And he continues, Uva Medrash, the Medrash that we have on top, Nimshula Torah b'midbar, Shetzarach Lios Hefker k'midbar. You have to be totally Hefker, like a midbar, Umimidmar Matana, Mashal, Nasi, Shnichnas, Lamedino, Varchu, etc., Limidbar, Vekiblu, Bekavad. It's not exactly what the Medrash says, but we'll explain in a second. Perish Dabar Himan Higumoshal. The word Dabar, we know in the Hebrew language, Dabar means thing. There are relationships between these words. Dabar means thing, but Dabar means a leader. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Dabar Echad Veloshne Dabarim. That a daber means a leader, or yadber amim tachtenu, the pasuk in Tehillim says it means to lead, or it means to, in that case, to step over, to trample. But daber means a leader, a manhig. So daber means a leader. So then, what does a midbar mean? If daber means a leader, what does a midbar mean? It means a follower. It means someone who's nichna tachas hamanhig. It means someone who subjugates themselves to the leader. What it means is that you have to be a midbar in the sense that you don't exist. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the leader, that the Torah is leading your thoughts and your life, and you are a midbar, you are simply a follower who is subjugated to the will of the Torah and to the das of the Torah and to the chachma of the Torah. Torah requires hachna'a, subjugation, totally being machnia oneself, giving up on oneself and realizing I'm an anav, I'm a nothing, and I'm here to be mekabel, to receive what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving over to me. That's what the Medrash that he was quoting. The Medrash says that there's a mashal, the Talmud Torah, Kabbalah Torah is a mashal to a nasi, a king, a governor, whatever, who comes to a certain town. The town is a beautiful town, a functioning town, and he's very, he imposes a lot of fear on the town and asks them to be mekabel his kingship, and they all run away. So they have a fear of the Nasi, but it's misapplied because they run away from him instead of taking their fear and accepting him. But then that same Nasi, that same king, goes to, and in the Medrash it's actually a destroyed city, but the Sfas Emes presents it as a midbar. Either way, he goes to a desolate area, an empty area where there's a community living there in this empty area. He imposes the same impositions. He shows that same malchus, and the community accepts his malchus in that area. What was the difference? The difference was that when they were built up and they had their own functioning society, and they had their own big houses and big community, so they felt themselves. So they were fearful of the king, but the way that expressed itself was to save themselves by running away. But when you go to a midbar and the people there have nothing, and a king comes and imposes himself on the nation, so that nation is fearful of that king as well, but that fear leads them to accept the king because there's nothing else. They don't feel fear for themselves. They just feel fear and love and awe of that person, and that leads them to accept him as the king. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us a Torah in the midbar, not in the city, not in the hustling, bustling city with all of the noise and all of the thrill of it and all of the building up that we've done of ourselves. No, we don't exist. We're a midbar. We're nothing. So then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah comes, we're able to taka accept it. The truth is, this theme carries through not only in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in relation to his agents, to his shlichim as well, who come to give us the Torah too. If you look in the Rambam that I quoted for you here, the Rambam in this fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, so he tells us all of the halachos of kavod for Talmid Chachamim, meaning the halachos of what a person has to show respect for their Rebbe, actually, and other people as well, in terms of Hilchos Talmud Torah, but we don't have time to get into all of the details here. In that context, I think this is Parak Hey Halacha Zayin or Ches, but I didn't put the halacha here. I'm sorry. The Kol HaMalachos Sha Eved Osel Rabo Talmud Osel Rabo. Very interesting formulation. The Rambam says that just like a servant, a slave, has to serve their master, so too a student has to serve their Rebbe. That's a very interesting comparison. A servant and a master, a slave and a slave owner is comparable to a Rebbe and a Talmud. Is that really accurate? It's like a slave and a slave owner, like a servant and a master. And second of all, why is this in Hilchos Talmud Torah at all? Hilchos Talmud Torah is about what? Generally. Learning, teaching, right? That's what it's about. Kavod for Talmid Chachamim is an important halacha, but it's not a halacha of learning. It's a halacha that belongs in, I don't know, Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam puts the halachas of Kibbut Aveim. You want to be fancy, you could put it with the halachas of Kavod for Kohanim, Vikidashto, but it's not a halacha of Talmud Torah, it's a halacha of Kavod, of respect for elders, for teachers. That's a different area of halacha. Why is it here in Hilchos Talmud Torah? So to answer both those questions, such a beautiful, beautiful idea, so important to internalize this, Rav Moshe Shapiro, in one of his shiurim on Hilchos Talmud Torah, Rav Moshe Shapiro, the Mekubal, Bamachshavu, passed away a few years ago, said such a beautiful idea. He said, no, you're wrong. It is a halacha in Talmud Torah. Because what Torah demands, in order for a person to be Mekabel Torah, to learn Torah, they have to be an Eved to a master. They have to subjugate themselves. They have to be a midbar. There has to be a dabar, a leader, a mashpia, and a midbar, a follower, a subjugated person, someone who's machnia himself, someone who's mushpa from the teacher above him. Torah can't be passed along between two people who have the same level of authority. They say a story. It's in the beginning. There's a very, very thin biography of the Minchas Chinuch that I once picked up at a used farm sale for like a dollar. It was worth it, but The book itself, I didn't get that much out of, but there was one story in there that I enjoyed, so it was worth a dollar. So it told us of the Minchas Chinuch, and the biography, it tells the following story. It says the Minchas Chinuch was married, I think, four times. He had three wives who predeceased him. So I don't remember if it was the third or the fourth, but one of his wives was the sister of the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz HaRav, the Chaim Halberstam. So they were brothers-in-law, the Minchas Chinuch and the Divrei Chaim. So when they lived in the same town, they used to learn together, Bechavrusa. And they realized, once they started learning together, they realized that the Torah wasn't good. It wasn't going well. Something wasn't clicking in terms of the Chavrusa. And they realized halfway through, as they were learning, that the problem was they were both too big. They were both too big, Talmid Chacham, too big teachers. And each one was trying to teach the other. So I would say a Chiddush, and you would say a Chiddush, and I would say a Chiddush, and you would say a Chiddush. But no one was hearing the other person. There was no learning. There was just teaching. So what they decided from then on to play house. And every day they would switch off. One person would be the Rebbe and one person would be the Talmud. One person would be the Mashpia, one person would be the Mushpa, one the teacher, one the Makabel. And in that way, the Chavrusa was Matzliach. They succeeded because Torah always needs a Dabar and a Midbar. It needs a leader and a follower. It needs someone to subjugate themselves, an Eved and a Rav, a master and a servant. So that's a halacha in Talmud Torah, says Rav Moshe Shapiro. That's not a separate halacha of Kavod, of respect that belongs in Hilchos Mamrim. That belongs here in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the halachos of learning, because part of the process of learning is in fact that relationship of teacher and receiver, that relationship of slave, of servant, and master. So that's the Midbar, the second perspective on Midbar that Sfas Emes gives over here. In Gimel, on the bottom of the page, you have a third perspective from the Sfas Emes. We saw this back in Parshas Yisro. I just copy and pasted it here from our old sheets. But in Parshas Yisro, Taf Resh Mem Beis, the Sfas Emes says that that the Torah specifically had to be given in a midbar, and that Klal Yisrael couldn't find any rest or respite in any place other than a midbar in order to be mekabel the Torah for a different reason entirely. The Sfas Emes here invokes a Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, which I put on the second page as well for you, which is that the Torah is completely ruchni, it's completely spiritual. It clashes with Gashmias. It doesn't go with Gashmias. It doesn't work together. They can't possibly coexist. And because of that, the Torah had to be given in a midbar, because a midbar is a place devoid of all Gashmias, devoid of all materialism, someplace which is completely ruchni, or at least completely open to ruchnias, and therefore it's a place where Torah can be matzliach, Torah can take root and grow. It's a beautiful peros that it's supposed to grow. So it was dafka in a midbar that the Torah was able to be given, in a place where people weren't so centered, so obsessed with materialism, that the Torah is able to grow and flourish in such a beautiful beautiful way. So that's a third perspective the Sfas Emes and the Maharal here give us, that the Midbar is representative also of the fact that it's devoid of all Gashmias, of all materialism, and that's a place that the Torah can really succeed. So again, three perspectives. The first was the Sfas Emes told us that the Midbar is a place with no distractions. It's like Shabbos Kodesh. It's a place that there's no distractions. The phone is off. The office is away. Everything is empty and open. It's a great expanse of nothingness that a person can then delve into Torah very deeply. Shabbos is every time we have an opportunity to do that. Specifically, Shabbos preceding Shavuos, we're supposed to focus on that, the Sfasim has told us. Secondly, the other perspective is that the Midbar is a Miloshon Midbar, like a follower, subjugating oneself. There's a Dabar, there's a leader, and there's a Midbar, a follower. The Torah demands that we have subjugation, that we be like avadim, that are slaves over Torah, that we subjugate ourselves to our master, our Rebbe, but also our master, our Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course. And that's the only way Talmud Torah can actually work, a Kabbalah's Torah can exist, and that's why it had to be given in a Midbar. That's what Meshach Shapir explained to us. That's why the halachos of Kabbalah for Talmud Chachamim and Eved L'Rabbo is compared to a servant and his master, and is found in Hilchos Talmud Torah, because that's a detail in the halachos of learning. It's not just a separate halacha of respect for your elders, but it's a detail in how Talmud Torah is transmitted from generation to generation, only through subjugating ourselves to the Das HaTorah, to the Nosin HaTorah, and to the Melamde Torah that we are exposed to in our lives. And lastly, the Sfasem has told us with the Maharal as well, that the Midbar is representative of a place devoid completely of any materialism, any Gashmias, and Torah can only really take root in such an area like a Midbar, so the Torah had to be given in a Midbar to teach us that lesson as well. There are other important Sfasems on the page, but in the interest of time, we'll stop here, and people should take home the sheets and learn the source number 2 and 3 at home. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.